faithful. I want to be true in everything I do. Let us turn in our Bibles this morning to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to start this morning at John 19, verse 25. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Let that sink into you. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. I can remember that years ago there was a man in our church, and I don't even know why I remember his name. It was kind of a unusual name. His name was T, just the letter T, Engel. T. Engel. Now, if you'd asked me 15 minutes ago, I would not have been able to remember that, and probably 15 minutes from now, I won't be able to remember that. But I remember very specifically, T was probably in his late 70s, and his son in his mid-50s. His son suddenly died one day. And I remember going to visit T, and he was distraught. And in his distraughtness, he, in his tears, looked at me and said, "A son should never precede his father in death." And I think that those of us who are fathers can empathize and sympathize with T. Here was a man, a grown man, 56, 57 years old, not a young man at all, but yet his father said, that should never be. Here we have Mary. Do you remember how old Jesus was when he died? He was but 33, a little over 33 years old. And remember that most likely that Mary was a mid-age teenager, 15, 16, when she had Jesus. So is my math right? Probably about 50 years old. She's standing there by the cross of her son. I don't know about you, but many times I read Scripture, and as I look at Scripture, I pass over things like that. It's just stating a fact. But can you imagine? And it says, let me read it once again. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. When Jesus had first been born and was presented in the temple, there was one that came to him, to her, and said, one day, you will have, basically, I'm paraphrasing, a stake driven through your heart because of him. I think this was the stake. Continuing on in our reading, not only did there stand by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So we've got Mary, Mary, and Mary standing at the foot of the cross. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home. May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his holy word. Let us pray. Father, we ask you this morning that your word would move us to action. That your word would move us to be more like Jesus. That your word would move us to be fishers of men. And Lord, we'll give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 12, we find the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment says this: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Our Lord has been betrayed. By the time we come to this account, he was betrayed by one of his closest associates. He was betrayed by the treasurer of the group. He was denied, not once, not twice, but thrice, by Peter, whom he had called the rock. Peter, to whom he had said about his confession, upon this rock will I build my church. The confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was abused by the religious leadership of the day, those who were teaching the Word of God, the Word of his Father. He was spat upon by the soldiers. He was whipped till his back was bare with sinew and bone. He was made to bear his cross. The nails had pierced his hands and his feet. And as he was hung on that cross, he was mocked by the religious leaders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. He was mocked by the passers-by. If thou be the Christ, come down. Many of you have asked me today how I'm feeling, and I'm thankful for your cares and your concerns, and mostly for your prayers. My little illness was just that. To me, it was big, and during those times, it was miserable. And when we go through these trials and these difficulties and sicknesses and problems and all, I'm afraid that many times we become very self-centered, very self-focused, very uncaring for those that are around us. But as we look at our Lord, and how can words describe what he was going through or what he went through? They're insufficient. And yet, it tells us there in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother. Nails through his feet, nails through his hands, a raw back on a rugged tree. Thorns piercing his brow. Hardly able to breathe. How could he even think? When you are on a cross, it's very difficult to talk. It's very difficult to think and to function. History tells us that most people on a cross in that condition, they would cry and cry aloud, but it was curses and oaths and terrible things. But his mother was close enough that he could speak to her in that condition, where every word was an effort. There are seven statements that are uttered from the cross. Many of them one or two word statements, such as "Tetelestai." It is finished. In the English, it's three words, but in the Greek, it was one word, "Tetelestai." We see in verse 28, he says, "I thirst." One word in the Greek. The statement that he makes here would be pretty much equal to, my God, why hast thou forsaken me in length?" Here he says, "Woman, behold thy son." To the disciple, he says, "Behold thy mother." Every word was an effort. And yet, among the longest statements that he makes to his mother. I want us to consider this morning our Lord not only as a substitute for our sin, substitute for us for our sin, as a sacrifice for our sin, but as our standard, our example, our model. Our Lord's first and primary concern for his mother was her spiritual condition. You say, "Pastor, I don't see that here. I don't see anything about her spiritual condition here." Why was he on the cross? Why was he suffering? Why was the wrath of God being poured out? It was being poured out because of Mary's sin. Because of your sin. Because of my sin. Unless it had been except for our sin, there would be no need for Jesus to be on the cross. No need for Jesus to come into this world of suffering and woe. But he was on the cross paying for her sin, your sin, my sin. He was her substitute. He was her sacrifice for sin. Mary had recognized her need of a Savior in what is commonly called the Magnificat. In Luke chapter 1, verse 47, before Jesus was ever born, this was in response to the angel telling Mary she was going to have a child. And she says, "How can this thing be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel replies to her, "With God, all things are possible." And she says, "My soul shall magnify the Lord." And she says, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." She needed a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior. And Jesus was paying the price for her sin on that cross. And so, Jesus' first and foremost concern for her mother was his mother's spiritual condition. There are groups of people out there that say that Mary was without sin. When the Roman Catholic Church talks about the Immaculate Conception, they're not talking about the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're talking about the conception of Mary. Can I tell you this morning that Mary was conceived in sin just like you and I was? Can I tell you that Mary needed a Savior just like you and I do? And that was Jesus' first and foremost concern. Can I tell you this morning that the first and foremost concern that you ought to have for your mother, if your mother is still alive, is for her spiritual condition? For the one who painfully brought you into this world, who fed you at all times of the day, and yea, even the night. For the one who changed your diapers. For the one who nursed your wounds. For the one who wept over you. The one who rejoiced in your triumphs. I get a kick. I probably tell it every year. But my mom and dad were at any ball games that we had. And my mother was quite excitable. And she would be yelling and screaming for her kids. My dad would walk to the other side of the ball field to not be identified with my mother. That's how excited she got about her kids playing. And so she was out there yelling and screaming, "Who rejoiced over our triumphs? Who loved you when you were not lovely?" I believe that many times as we, as grown sons and daughters, we fail to remember these things. And for some mothers, it was with others hanging on their apron strings. You know, we'd like to think that we're the only child in our mother's thoughts and minds, but for many, there were other children hanging on those apron strings at the same time as they were dealing with your wounds, your diapers, your triumphs, when you were not lovely. You cannot do what Jesus did for his mother. You cannot die for her sins. But if she knows not Jesus Christ, you can point her to the Savior that did die for her sins. You can pray for her that the Lord would save her. Folks, I can think of no more horrible situation to think that my mother would not be in heaven and that I would not be able to spend eternity with my mother. And I would urge you that, and I understand it's the work of the Spirit of God that works in that, but you can pray for her and you can point her to a Savior. And you can also praise her for what and how she taught you. There is such a thing as common grace, although no grace is common. But in theological terms, we talk about common grace. And for the most part, mothers have that maternal instinct and they raise. And no matter how possibly bad a mother is, she brought you into this world. And so, though you cannot do what Jesus did, you can point your mother to the Savior. You can pray for her, and you can praise her for what and how she taught you. For those that have mothers that loved the Lord and knew the Lord, perhaps it was at her knee that you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jim was a few weeks ago back at, my son Jim was over at Cape Canaveral, and yeah, last week while I was absent from you, I went online, and the Grace Bible Presbyterian Church has their services live streamed, and you can see the video of it, and they also have archives where you can see previous messages. Well, Jim had been over there a few Sundays ago and shared in their Sunday school, and he gave his testimony of how the Lord brought him to the ministry that that the Lord gave and how that came about. But I still remember the night that my wife came out of the bedroom with tears streaming down her face, and she said, "Dad, Jimmy just asked Jesus into his heart." And at the knee of a mama, salvation came to that young man at a very early age. I'd like to encourage you that a son or a daughter ought to be concerned about their mother's spiritual condition, even if they are a saved individual. I want to ask you, and I look at teenagers and I look at young people around in our congregation this morning, and I want to ask you, when was the last time you thanked your mommy for teaching you the things of Jesus Christ? Have taught your mama to be a faithful, that thanked your mama for being a faithful witness? Have you thanked God for her being a faithful witness? And I don't mean in a general way, but I mean in very specific ways. Mom, I remember the time that. I remember what you did. I remember how you shared and taught me. I ask you, when was the last time you interceded for your mother? You know, it's a shame. I probably prayed for my mother more in the last year and a half of her life than I prayed for her in the previous 50 years. I want to hold up a mirror and I want to say, shame on you. Because I guarantee you, in that 50 years preceding that time, my mother needed my prayers. And so, young people, and those whose mothers are still alive, when was the last time you interceded for her before the Father's throne? And I would say, please, not just in a general way, but specific needs. And when was the last time you asked, Mom, what can I do to pray for you? What can I pray for you about? Mom, you know I'm here. Anytime there's a need, you can call me and I'll be glad to pray for you. Some of our mothers would drop dead at such a request because of joy and shock. And I want to exhort you to do such a thing. But Jesus was not only interested in her spiritual condition, but Jesus was concerned about her physical condition as well. You might remember his denunciation of the Pharisees over in the book of Mark, chapter 7. I'm going just to read a couple verses there. When he was talking to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders that were there, in Mark chapter 7, verse 11, starting verse 10, it says, For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, this is the religious leaders, if a man say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say a gift, but by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and he shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition. You see, they had a tradition. They say, oh, this is Corban. This is set aside for God's work. And so I can't use it for you. I can't help you because I don't have the means because it's all been set aside for God's work. And Jesus gave a very theological term for it. And I'm being facetious here, but hogwash. He said, you've made the word of God of none effect. Jesus was concerned not only about his own mother's physical condition, but all mothers and fathers' physical condition. He was concerned for her needs. Remember, Jesus had brothers and sisters. He had, I believe, at least four brothers that we know are mentioned. And he has at least two sisters. Names are not mentioned, but it says that he had brothers and sisters. The brothers are named, the sisters are not. Why did not Jesus just naturally assume that the brothers and sisters would take care of his mother? Why does he say to John, behold your mother, and mother, behold your son? Why does he commend his mother to John rather than to his brothers and sisters? Well, the first thing that I would say is brothers and sisters, for all we know, were not there at the cross. In fact, if you look back in the gospel record, you find out that they were not even they were not followers of Jesus, but were critical of Jesus and even mockers of Jesus. Now, I'm thankful to say that after the resurrection, at least the brothers are there with the disciples in the upper room waiting for Pentecost. But up until the cross, they were not followers of Jesus Christ. Can I just make a thought here that Jesus was not going to leave his mother's care to unbelievers? Look at his tender words. The Bible tells us that words are important. I'm just going to take a little segue here to read you several Proverbs. Proverbs 12:18 says, There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 15, verse 23 says, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? A word spoken at the right time, how good is it? Proverbs 16, 24 tells us, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 23, verse 16 say, yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. And then lastly, Proverbs 27, verse 9 says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. I want to ask you this morning, especially if your mother's alive, and I would encourage you that if your mother's not alive, to find someone that you could adopt as a mother. And even if your mother is alive, take some elderly woman under your wing. How do you speak to your mother? How do you speak to your mother? Is it critical? Is it biting? Is it harsh? My wife, she, in the last several years, has told me, she says, I've spent 30 years remembering for you. Now it's time for you to remember for me. So that tells you that she's having a hard time remembering things. And sometimes some people make fun of her because she forgets things or lays things in wrong places. Of course, this has been happening for a long time. I remember several years ago when the children were still quite young, that my wife had brought home cantaloupe from the grocery store. And we couldn't find the cantaloupe. She had put them in the closet. And those things happen now and again. And we laugh at those, not at her, but with her about those things. But a question to us as grown children, how do we speak to our mother? Words have consequence. Words have impact. Not only the words themselves, but the tone and the facial expressions that we use. Perhaps there's a need for repentance and confession and restoration. There may be times that correction of our mother is needed and is necessary. Our Lord had those times with His mother, didn't He not? Remember at the first miracle that He performed at the wedding of Cana, that He had to say, Mom, my time's not yet. It's not time for me to do these things. And yet she had insisted that He should. There was a time when she stood outside the place where He was speaking with His brothers, expecting His attention, and He said, who is my mother, who is my brothers, but those who do my will? It was in the context of His brothers mocking Him. It was in the context of His brothers thinking that He was beside Himself, and perhaps she was succumbing to the brothers' thought process, being influenced by them. But even if our mothers are wrong, we need to, as much as lies within us, to honor them. Using tender words, using sweet words, using life-giving words, using affirmative words, using well-timed words, using appropriate words. Not only as a greeting or parting, but in intentional ways. I am so grateful. I hear many of the young people, the young married people, as they leave the house or as they greet their spouses, they say, I love you. I love you. And I'm thankful for that and I'm encouraged by that. But let's not use it as just a greeting. This morning, Ms. Dyer came in to me, and as is always the greeting, how are you? And she sat down, looked at me, said, do you really want to know? How many of us, when we ask somebody, how are you, do we really want to know? Do you really care? And you know, sometimes our words, I love you, just become a greeting, just become a salutation, just become that which becomes, okay, now I lay me down to sleep, or pray the Lord my soul to keep, you know, just sort of what we do before we go to bed or before we eat or when we leave. But how about the spontaneity? How about at the time when there's a discussion, just to look at her and say, I love you. We might be disagreeing now, but I love you. For those that don't live in the home, how about picking up the phone? This morning when I called Bernice, when I called my mother-in-law, they were so grateful, perhaps because it wasn't expected. How about doing something unexpected by picking up the phone or writing a card or dropping by on other days besides Mother's Day or treating her at other times, not just unexpected times? I would quickly add, husbands, that goes for your wife just as much as your mother. I am so thankful for those that said, I'm not only thankful for my mother, but I'm thankful for the mother of my children. Folks, husbands, thank God for your wives. Bless your wives. Encourage your wives. Help your wives. But not only was Jesus concerned about his mother's spiritual condition, not only was he interested in her physical condition and with his words, but he honored and loved his mother in a tangible way. Words are important, but many times actions speak louder than words. He made provision for her in his pain and in his suffering, not just at convenient times, not just when there was nothing else to do. Candy and flowers are nice, but how much more the question, what can I do for you? Ready to help at her request, looking for ways to help her. Jesus, in the midst of his own suffering, was sensitive to her suffering. Was Jesus suffering? Absolutely. Was Mary suffering? Absolutely. And in the midst of his suffering, he was sensitive to her suffering and to her need. I believe he understood this particular time, that it was a vulnerable time and a painful time. In a sense, she was suffering as only a mother can and does suffer for a child. And it seems that for children, the time that they learn how much a mother suffers for them is not fully realized until they themselves are parents. They themselves experience that. We see a mother's love. Can I read it again? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. She followed Jesus. She was at the foot of his cross. I believe most possibly she was at the tomb. She was in the upper room with the disciples. There's no doubt that sin has destroyed relationships and in some situations has dulled and diluted and destroyed the natural love that God gives and has put in the heart of a mother for her child. And whether you have a mother that has failed you, and there are those, and it is becoming more and more rampant, or a mother that has been the mother that can and has been what God has called her to be, you can pray for and with your mother. You can encourage them as best you can. You can give words that are life-giving, and you can honor them in a tangible way. Let's start right now, can we not? I believe you can pray with your eyes open, but you can close them. What is it that you need to pray for your mother this day? And if your mother is not alive, first of all, thank God for your mother. And second of all, think of somebody in your mother's age bracket. For some of you, that may be impossible for anybody to be alive. But think of somebody else that you can pray for. Do it now. Secondly, I would ask and I would urge you to think of tangible words, life-giving words that you can say to your mother or to someone else that needs encouragement today. What can you say? Not trite words, not rote words, but words that you can affirm very specifically. This is the blessing you have been in my life. This is the help that you've been in my life. I can remember years ago, and I'm ashamed of myself. My mom and dad always gave me a card for my birthday. And I would rip open the card, and I'd look inside the card, and I'd take the check, and I'd put it in my pocket, and then I'd put the card aside. It came to the point that they didn't give me a card anymore. They just handed me the check. But can I tell you one of the reasons? I think a lot of times, and this is not true with my wife, she does a great job at that. She'll spend 20 minutes looking over cards to find one that'll say just what she wants it to say to that person. But I always took it, that was bought, you know, it was somebody else's word. Can I encourage you to say words from your mouth or from your hand that are encouraging and life-giving words? And then thirdly, I would ask you to determine or decide what tangible ways you can serve your mother or your wife this day. Perhaps in a way you've never done before. Folks, when we look at Jesus, we need to see our Savior. We need to thank God for our Savior. But when we see our Savior, we need to see one who is concerned not only for our soul salvation, but for our physical needs and for our physical provision. And we see that even when He was on the cross, in that time of pain, in that time of suffering, in that time that most of us would be very focused on ourselves. And He met her physical need. May the Lord give us a desire to do such. Let us pray. Father, this morning as we think upon our Savior and His love for us, and love in particular for His mother, His care and His concern, His life-giving words, and yea, Lord, His actions, we ask You, Father, that You would convict our own hearts. And where there needs to be confession of sin, we pray, Lord, that we would confess that before You, whether it's towards our mothers or towards our wives or towards others that, Father, hold that position in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for those mothers that have been godly mothers. We would pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength, the stamina, and the wherewithal to continue their labors for you. But Lord, I pray that you would help each of us as sons and daughters, as husbands, that Father, we would make an effort to pray for them, to give life-living words, and to serve them in a tangible way. For it's in Christ's name we pray it. Amen.